Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We have such a serious program today. We are coming to the moment, the epicenter of what prophetic warning the Lord has given us. And first, we want to be able to go into beginning remembering what the former CIA head, Michael Morell, said about this weekend, the 4th of July. We've had this before. We're going to come back to and talk to some prophetic warnings that came to Pastor John Kilpatrick, Casey Sweet, and some others. We come back from this. You can take a look at this right now. You've got to see it.
This morning, federal agencies are warning of possible terrorist attacks on the upcoming holiday weekend. The FBI and Department of Homeland Security are urging local law enforcement to step up security and be vigilant during 4th of July celebrations.
CBS News senior security contributor Michael Morell is with us. He is a former CIA deputy director. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How serious is this warning and how serious is this threat?
So these kind of warnings go out routinely, but there's nothing routine about this particular one to me. This one really resonates with me for two reasons. One is there's been about 50 people in the last 12 months who've been arrested in the United States for being radicalized by ISIS, wanting to go fight there or wanting to conduct an attack here. So there's a lot of people out there who are seeing themselves as aligned with ISIS, number one. And then number two, you have this ISIS call to arms during Ramadan. We are right in the middle of Ramadan. Call to arms, conduct attacks against our enemies. So I'm worried about this one.
What does this mean for Americans on 4th of July?
Yeah. I don't want to tell Americans what to do or what not to do. But, Nora, I wouldn't be surprised if we're sitting here a week from today talking about an attack over the weekend in the United States. That's how serious this is.
How difficult is it to catch the homegrown terrorists? You mentioned that there have been several arrests.
It's very difficult because they're being radicalized in their bedrooms, in their basements, right? They're communicating with ISIS.
On the internet, Mike?
On the internet. ISIS is telling them, don't tell anybody about our conversations. It's very difficult to see them until they take action to do something, right? Buy tickets to Iraq or Syria, buy weapons, buy explosives, right? That's where you catch these guys.
From David Cameron and others, you're beginning to see world leaders, it seems to me, taking a new concern about this. It's risen to a new level of concern.
It's what happens when there's three attacks in one day, right? Yeah. And what's interesting about the three attacks we saw, one in Kuwait, one in Tunisia, and one in France, is they represent the different ways that ISIS is threatening us. So in Kuwait, I think what we're going to find is that ISIS actually sent this guy from Iraq and Syria to conduct this attack, right? That's one threat they pose, sending people at us. In Tunisia, what I think we're going to learn is that this guy was part of a group that has now aligned itself with ISIS. That's another way they threaten us. And then in France, it's just self-radicalization, right?
So what do concerned nations do, and how much can they coordinate in this?
So I think my own view is it's time to pick up the pace against ISIS, right? Because I think a big part of their sales pitch is how successful we are, right? They've got the momentum. It's time to take the momentum away from them, and I think we'll reduce the radicalization.
And make it less romantic.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Michael Morell.
Welcome.
And this is this weekend. This is this weekend. Well, just this Sunday of this week, a prophetic warning came as the Lord spoke and revealed this word, the United Apostate Church of America. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. Brother Kilpatrick, Pastor John Kilpatrick.
This is what I saw this morning, the United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really said it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now. I went upstairs immediately, did some research, looked it up in Webster, and I looked up apostle, one sent out on a mission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and establish disciples that will follow his teaching. An apostle is one who initiates great moral reform or one who first advocates an important teaching, belief, or moral system. The highest ecclesiastical office in some church organizations. But look at the term for apostate. Renunciation of the religious faith once delivered by the apostles. Abandonment of a previous loyalty. Defection. I said, Lord, does that mean that all the United States stands with this new law? And the Lord said no, but he said the apostates have united and there's a majority now and my people are in the minority. It's like a ship going through the water with coordinates. It's been on that course for almost 250 years. There's new coordinates put in, and when those new coordinates are put in, it changes course, and it's turning left in the water, and it's headed right into a major storm. Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
This is so important, this urgency. God is just speaking with so many voices. You know, this is that moment in time. The Lord has shown me great loss of life is potentially coming. It's already happening in the world, but coming to America if we don't repent. It doesn't, not only do we, doesn't seem that America repented, but we just went off the deep end. We just kind of just let it all rip. And it's like we have to prepare ourselves, brace ourselves, and realize that everything that we've been talking about for 3 years now, and we've been systematically explaining what God is saying, is coming to pass. But I believe, just like Pastor John Kilpatrick is declaring, that we can cry out to God, and God's, this is going to be the best days for the church ahead, the greatest harvest of the church the world's ever seen for Christians, people being saved. I mean, it's going to be the biggest ever, but we have to position ourselves and prepare ourselves, and God has given us, this is like a 2-minute warning. When you think about a game, for example, like a football game, right before the game ends, they give a 2-minute warning, and that means everybody adjusts, everybody pauses, they take a break because they realize it's it. All you have is 2 minutes left. And guess what? God just said prophetically to Casey Sweet in a night vision, that's exactly what we have. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, and if you knew this, why didn't you tell somebody? Let's listen to what the Lord said to Casey Sweet.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I want to tell you about a dream that I believe God gave me. I was sitting in a very dark room with me and one other person. I'm not sure who that person was, but I think I knew them. I was sitting there, and I knew that there was going to be a bomb that was about to go off, and I had 2 minutes. I didn't see the bomb, but I knew that it was there for some reason, and so I had 2 minutes, and I was just waiting, and I started praying and silently in my head, and all of a sudden, the bomb went off, and I woke up in my dream. I woke up on the train, on a train full of people, cars. We were in a car full of people. There was people everywhere. And Jesus was standing at the very front of this car, and he was telling everyone, he was asking, he said, who of you knew me? Who of you accepted me and actually knew me while you were alive? And everyone was looking at him like, why does that matter? Who are you? Why, you know, why did we need to know you? And I said, well, I did. And I'm like the only one that said so. And he said, well, come with me. And so I go up to the front of the car, and we go into the next car on the train. And he looks at me, and he's got these papers in front of him that have some things on them. And he looks at me, and he says, so why didn't you tell the person next to you when you were about to die about me? And I just started crying. You know, I was just like, I didn't even cross my mind to tell them about you. And just filled with regret and feeling like I could have done something more. And he went on, had a list of things that, just opportunities that I had missed in my life to tell people about him and to do good. And at the end of it, you know, Jesus was like, I still love you, and you are still welcome here. He said, I just wanted you to realize what you could have done. And so, you know, he hugged me, and he welcomes me into this train car now full of believers. And I sit down in my seat, and I'm just sitting there and still crying from, you know, feeling like I could have done better. But the person in front of me turns around, and I realize I knew them. I was like, wow, what are you doing here? You know, this is, I was like, I'm so glad you're here. And he said, I want to thank you. And I was like, for what? And he said, you're the reason I'm here. I was like, I barely even talked to you. This is a guy from high school. And I said, I barely even talked to you. He said, no, you are the reason I'm here. You told me about Jesus, and you showed me what it meant to follow him. And I was just blown away. I couldn't believe that someone I barely even knew, that I barely even talked to, was there because of me. I just couldn't believe it. And I woke up, and I was crying, and full of tears of joy and tears of sorrow and regret of things that I've, in my past, that I have not taken, that I've taken for granted and I haven't done for Jesus. And I believe that in this dream, he was trying to show me the time is coming. We only have 2 minutes left, you know, it's coming very quickly. And we need to take our time and take advantage of the people that are around us and the opportunities that we have to share the gospel and to let people know that that train is coming, that people sitting in that car can say, yes, I accepted you and I knew you, and they can go to the next car. And that's my dream, and that's what I wanted to share.
This is so powerful. This is what God is just now saying. You're hearing this from Pastor John Kilpatrick. You're hearing this from Casey Sweet. You're hearing it from us. And the warning, so many people, the mindset, when you talk to people who are Christians, they're going like, how can I survive? What about me? What about my stuff? And you're not hearing anybody say, how can I let people know? If you died today, where would you go? Because if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're not going to go to heaven. You're not going to go to a better place. You have to consciously make that decision. And the Lord was going, why didn't you tell them? Why didn't you tell them? As a matter of fact, when I think about this, I think about Rick Wiles. And the Lord had just shown him a vision, literally like a movie, a vision, and showed him America was on fire. Almost like Dimitri Dudeman, when God showed him America under judgment and having cities on fire. And when God spoke to him, he also spoke to his daughter and gave her a dream. As a matter of fact, hear him right now talking about it, Rick Wiles.
I didn't tell anybody. The next morning, my daughter Carissa, who was 22 years old at the time, in the morning, she says to me, Dad, Jesus spoke to me last night. And I'm kind of like, you know, getting breakfast or something. I said, oh, you mean you had a dream about the Lord? She goes, no, he spoke to me. I go, what do you mean, Carissa? She goes, he came into my room and spoke to me. I go, you saw him? She goes, in my sleep. I was asleep, but I was aware that Jesus was standing at my bed speaking to me. And I said, what did he say? He said, daughter, beginning tonight, I will speak to you about the end times through dreams and visions. Then she said, Dad, he gave me a dream. What did you see? She said, Dad, our family, it was my wife Susan, my son Jeremy, and Carissa, we were standing together, huddled together, and we were surrounded by thousands of people. And they were rotating around us like on a giant carousel, just going around us. But she said, Dad, they were all skeletons. And they were reaching out long bony arms. She goes, I saw the sockets in their skull. They were reaching out long bony arms and they were crying to you, Dad, in a loud voice. If you knew this was going to happen, why didn't you tell us? And my daughter looked at me and she goes, Dad, I don't know what God's telling you to do, but you better do it.
This is so important. Why aren't we saying something? Why are we just doing business as usual? This is an urgent moment. Even the world knows. People who don't even know God, they know this is an urgent moment. Even the reports this week that Israel had to secure its southern border because ISIS is coming in through their southern border. Reports of Kamal Saleem from Qum Ministries, over 450,000 reported radical jihadists are in America, so reportedly that came from the border patrol. They're told him this is going on. We are in a crucial moment. We need to cry out to God. We need to prepare, but we also need to tell somebody. Jesus is saying, why don't you tell them? When we get back from this break, we're going to talk to Steve Kalaszewski. The Lord spoke to him, and he said, listen, he said that this is going to happen, and he says, specifically, it's about the harvest. The Father's doing it, and he says, you need to be prepared. You need to sign up today for the Torch. Go to vfntv.com, sign up for the Torch newsletter, so you'll immediately get the message free. prudent preparation. You need to prepare, and you need to prepare now.
I guess you can sense the urgency in today's program. This is so important. You need to go to VFNTV.com, sign up for the Torch newsletter, and you get right away, you get the message, prudent preparation. You need to prepare. It'll come right to you automatically in your email. Just sign up as a free gift, but we want you to be prepared. Joining me right now is Steve Kolosiewski. Steve, what did the Lord speak to you about this day? I mean, what did the Lord say to you?
Mm-hmm. I was actually driving my car, and I was
This is a night vision, right?
Right. So, okay. I was having a night vision, and I'm driving down a really steep hill.
Okay.
And I'm driving my car.
So he's going downhill.
Correct. Okay. And I can't apply the brakes. I'm unable to.
There's no brakes.
There's no brakes. But as I'm driving,
would you have wanted to apply the brakes?
Oh, very, yeah, urgent.
You felt a sense that when you slow this thing down?
Absolutely.
But you couldn't slow it down.
But it was almost like it was out of control. I was trying to steer it as best I could. I'm going down this hill.
Was the steering working well for you?
The steering was working okay, but I had to mm-hmm. stay on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And there are animal carcasses.
Wait a minute. So you're on a road.
Right.
Where did this come from? Were you seeing this all along? Was that showing you?
No, it was just instant.
Oh, suddenly they appeared.
Suddenly it was just happening.
Okay. And so dead animals.
They're everywhere. They're falling from the sky. They're on the road. And it was just kind of like trying to be mindful of everything, everywhere at the same time.
Almost like an explosion or something? Or
I don't know if
it was a hurricane or...
I don't know if it was an explosion or hurricane, but it was just mindful of the fact that they were both on the road, but yet I didn't want to get hit by one that was falling.
Wow.
But yet falling. I also didn't want to run into one as I'm driving.
What kind of animals are these?
You name it, it was there.
Like,
I mean,
cows,
giraffes, bulls.
It's almost like the Ark, huh? Everything you can imagine.
Wow. Everything you can imagine. And as I'm driving, I'm so focused on the animals that are everywhere, all of a sudden I just suddenly realize that at the bottom of this hill, there's a traffic intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm driving...
With no brakes.
And as I'm driving the bottom of the hill, all the traffic is going from my left to my right, and they are like... It is high-moving traffic.
Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden I'm realizing that, like, okay, I have to somehow merge with this traffic of just like, what, how am I going to do this? And at the same time, I was like, all of this is going on and you're having to pay attention to all this. I get to the bottom of the hill and I just, with all I've got, I just turn the car as hard as I can and just merge with traffic and we're going.
So you turn to the right.
I turn to the right,
mm-hmm.
and at the bottom of the hill, I finally get the car on the side of the road, and I get on the shoulder, and somehow I stop the car.
How are you feeling at this moment?
I mean, my heart is pounding.
Almost beside yourself.
My heart is just racing.
Right.
I get to the shoulder, I stop
disaster.
The car. Right. Mm-hmm. Just pandemonium, mm-hmm. just chaos. Mm-hmm. And I pick up the phone and I call you,
mm-hmm.
and immediately, as before I even are able to say anything, as soon as the phone connects, you say, "Don't panic."
So I said, "Don't panic. This is a dream.
Don't panic.
Don't panic.
This is a dream." You said, "Don't panic. This is what God has allowed to happen to bring in the harvest.
This is what God has allowed to happen
mm-hmm.
to bring in the harvest."
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And you said, "You do have your 90 days, don't you?"
Wow. There
that
it
was
is.
It.
That's so important because you're looking at that these things are happening, but we've been praying for a harvest. Mm-hmm. This is what's going to happen. Tragedy is going to happen, but people are going to come to God in the time of adversity. You know, the church is birthed on the blood of martyrs and things that happen of that nature. And you can't stop this thing. There's not brakes. It is going. You got to do your best to be able to steer it. But in the context of that, you need to be prepared. And part of that is prudent preparation. You need to prepare. You need to be able to go to VFNTV.com. You know, I was just talking to a neighbor of mine who was concerned about his family and what to do. And what I told him is that you're going to need to go to VFNTV.com, sign up for the Torch newsletter, because you are going to have to be prepared. This is what the Word of God says. It says that a prudent man sees danger and prepares for it, but a fool or a simple person just keeps going and suffers for it. But one of the big things is our land has been blessed for so long, you can almost assume that tomorrow is going to be the same as yesterday. But I have seen personally great loss of life. I have seen prophetically in night visions storms and these things coming towards our nation, coming in our nation. it's, to me, it's inevitable, but it's not the end of the world, but it could be the end of your world. It could, if we're not ready and you're prepared, when there's mayhem and there's rebellion in the land and that type of thing, all kinds of things take place. You know, bright lights attract all kinds of things and tragedies. And it makes me think about, you know, John's going to be joining us right now, John Ramos. John, talk to us about the warning, the watchman on the wall, because the big question is, you know, we're going to talk about, what do you do with this?
Yeah.
And there is something that we can do other than just, you know, go prepare yourself, you know, for 90 days worth of food. That's like specific words that God had given me, gave him again in the dream.
Wow.
Was you need to prepare for 90 days. You need 90 days of preparation. And that teaching, that talk has all these details in it. There's a whole bunch of important details. But prudent preparation, 90 days of food and water and that type of thing, just so you can hang out until hopefully some things pass over during that time.
I had this vision during the day where I was on the ground. It was an evening, and real quick, I saw three horsemen that kind of galloped with their horses right past me in a kind of rapid fire, if you will. And then in the next scene of this dream, vision actually, I'm hovering in the air, suspended. It's a dream, but now there's a row of maybe 20 to 30 horsemen on horse galloping in a cadence, if you will, and I'm hovering above them, kind of in them, you know, like, you know, right above them.
And they're on this wall.
No, not yet.
Okay.
And they're galloping, but what I heard was the ferociousness of I guess the hoofs and the, just the loud and the thunder, and that's the only thing that I heard. It was so violent, if you will.
Right.
And then the next scene of this vision, I'm actually, instead of hovering, I'm actually on the horse myself, and I'm galloping with them. And the third scene, have like a view where I'm looking down, and now I see a single file line of horsemen, and they're galloping, and the lead horseman is actually standing with his hand raised high, and he's holding a torch. And they're riding on a wall, and towards the right of them, I see this dark sea, this wave, if you will. What I came to mind was that a storm was brewing, the water was brewing, and it was getting ready to come on the shore, come on the land. And these horsemen were riding. It was like the midnight hour because it was dark, you know. And this was going to happen. This storm was about to take this whole, you know, city or this area out. And at the last call, the last moment, these horsemen were still in a single file line, bringing the light, bringing the warning, danger, danger, danger. It's coming, and you better be prepared.
And that's what God is just saying over and over and over again. And we've been trying to communicate the best we could, and with all even others that are hearing what's going on. And God is going, this is one thing the Lord's going to do, and we're going to go to a break, and we're going to talk more detail about what do you do. We're going to talk about what did God's people do historically during times like this, and our God listens to us. This whole thing is about he's getting our attention. He wants our attention. He's a good God, a loving God, but we have to want him. We have to cry out to him. We have to say, you know, what do you need? What's happening? I'm sorry. What's happening? Repent, whatever it is. But you can physically do things. You look at, you know, this generation is not into symbolism, and they're not into, you know, family reunions and 4th of July and that type of thing. But, you know, there's something that happened on the 4th of July. It's when America declared their independence and said that we need to be one nation under God. Only God gives rights. And that's when they made a covenant with the Lord when they signed in 1776 to say we can't be under a king. We need to be up under God. But just recently, the last final straws have been pulled, and America said, don't want to be under God. Don't want to be under God. So now here it is. It's coming. What are we going to do? The church, God will protect you. He will put a mark on those that are his. If you'll listen to him, he protects us by wisdom. This stuff about, you know, God's going to take care of me. He's doing it now. He's going, listen, prepare.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying prepare. Somebody says, I don't know. God's going to take care of me. He's going to get me to work. No, you're going to have to go buy a car. You're going to have to pick out a car. You're going to have to fill it with gas, maintain it, and you're going to have to drive it back and forth to work. I mean, you're involved in the process of God's provision for you. And so you're going to have to prepare instantly. I'm telling you, instantly, when we know this over and over again, we had 5 hurricanes in one year, that the shelves will be empty immediately, will be empty. You won't have any time to prepare for that, but you need to prepare now, and the shelves can be replenished. But it's 90 days. Make sure you go to this. You see it on your screen right here. Go there to VFNTV.com. Sign up for that torch. Get that message, prudent preparation, and prepare. You know, you're hearing this anxious information, but you need to hear it. If it's going to happen, you need to be prepared for it. And how can we respond to God? God, one of the greatest things that we can do is humble ourselves before God. And the definition of humility is total dependency on God, total dependency on God and respect for other people. Mm. You know, when we're being disrespectful to people, we're being prideful. When we are not humbling ourselves, that doesn't mean a doormat. It means I'm just dependent on God. I mean, if God doesn't come through, I'm not going to come through. I'm going to trust God in this. And so shifting back into a place of humility. And, you know, John, I think about the times that, you know, leaders physically did something. Mm-hmm. I mean, they wanted God to see them in their humility, and they put on sackcloth and ashes.
Yeah.
And some of the experience of those are...
Well, you know, I think about when Mordecai, when there was a plot in Esther, I believe in chapter 4, verse 1, where Haman had a plan to take out the Jews.
He was building a hangman's noose, and he was going to kill all the Jews. He had the whole plot against to destroy them. They were going to be destroyed if he had his way.
Yeah. And Mordecai goes out and puts sackcloth and, you know, ashes, and he's running out into the city wailing. The scriptures say bitterly wailing.
So he put on sackcloth in the presence of man and God and began to wail, which is crying out to God. Yeah. God, this man's trying to kill us.
Yeah.
Which shows humility, weakness, right? It's like your dependency is on God.
That's it. You know, there's nothing else. I think of another time when, you know,
he wasn't like, "Dear Heavenly Father, would you please?" I mean, he was like crying out, screaming.
Crying out publicly. And you know, when
did God hear him?
God heard him. Yeah, because the Jews weren't exterminated.
Actually, the one who was going to exterminate the Jews got exterminated. His own plans turned on him over and over again. This has happened, hasn't it?
Yeah, dangerous. not a good idea. But this is that, you know, when we don't want to come up with human arguments and human ideas when it's time to cry out to God. And and when your back is against the wall, that's the time to look up, you know, and we need to look to the Lord. He's the one that's going to give us everything that we need. I think about, you know, Jonah. Think about, you know, God was going to deal with Nineveh. And Jonah chapter 3, verse 4 says that,
and Nineveh is actually Mosul today, where it's the headquarters of ISIS.
Right.
So God was sending this prophet named Jonah, in the book of Jonah you're reading from, to go to the city because God had hope for the city.
And he declares, and he's proclaiming, in 40 more days.
So in 40 days, it was going to be destroyed.
40 more days, Nineveh is going to be overturned.
Because God said that. I'm going to destroy it.
I'm going to do it.
There's a storm I'm fastening against you.
And the mercy of God. It didn't surprise them. Yeah. It didn't come when... You know, he let them know 40 more days.
Because he doesn't want us to be destroyed.
No, he wished that none would perish, right?
We have to make a conscious decision for it to happen.
Yeah, and to believe. Because this is the thing about how they responded. So the Ninevites believed God.
They believed the message that he was delivering.
They believed
a human being. God was using a human being to deliver that message, warning them.
Yeah. They didn't believe in their head. They believed with their actions. You know, our actions dictate what we believe. And their response was that everyone...
He needed more time, and God actually extended the deadline for the storm so he can get to everybody. Yeah. So he even put a pause on the storm so that they had more time to make sure he got the message to everybody.
Yeah. It took 3 days or something.
I feel like there's been a pause here in America.
A huge pause. A mercy pause.
Yes. Because he doesn't want America destroyed.
Yeah. And it says about, the scriptures say that all of them were in sackcloth.
All the Ninevites.
Yeah, they started fasting, and they immediately put on sackcloth. Wow. And they postured, they positioned themselves in a place of humility and said, God just spoke. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they humbled themselves.
So they said, God is right. We are wrong. God forgive us. And they just put on sackcloth and
even
ashes.
Even the animals fasted. Even the animals
fasted. Put muzzles on. Nobody could eat.
Nobody could eat.
Just stop the flesh.
Yeah.
And dealt with it. And what did God do?
And God spared them.
He changed his whole plan.
He changed the plan.
He changed the entire plans.
Yeah, and God, you know, that's what he wants. God wants our heart. He's not interested in punishing us and hurting us. Yeah. God just wants us to
prevent
turn our
this thing from happening.
Yes, yes, he's very merciful.
Yes, he is.
Very merciful. And we don't want to shake our fist of sand, as Anne Graham Lowe
said. Shaking your dusty fist in the hand of God, because we're made by dust.
Yeah.
When you think about, I think about Israel's king and Israel's people, and he was just a ferocious king. He was just terrible. His name was Ahab, and he just provoked God, and he just did everything. He worshipped everything but God, and he did all kinds of stuff. And literally the word says he just provoked him. I mean, provoking God, right? And so God would warn him, and he wouldn't do nothing. God would warn him. He killed people unrighteously, did all these different things. I mean, he's just a bad king, bad leader. And so God warns him. God goes and sends a prophet to this king. Same thing. He's trying to spare his life. And he said, you know, you need to change, you know, these different things were going on. And he didn't change. And finally, he goes and he tells him, he says, Elijah to him. And Elijah comes to him, this prophet, the same kind of prophet that worked with Jonah. And he says, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to come down so hard on you, you know, your generations won't even make it. I'm so hard. I mean, it's over for you. So this evil, unrighteous, shaking his fist in the face of God, man, you know what he does? He humbles himself. He puts on sackcloth and ashes, and then prays. And God tells Elijah, the very same prophet that went and just told him, you know, it's over for you. He says, Elijah, did you see?
Yeah.
There's no way, God, no way. Yeah. No, he humbled himself. He put on sackcloth and ashes. And so he says, go back and tell him it's not going to happen.
Mm.
It's going to happen on his sons, but it won't happen during his time. And even this Nineveh and all these different evil places, when we repent, it's the secret is repentance, just like Wiles was talking about. Yeah. Just repent. We have to, and repent does not mean saying I'm sorry. We just say we begin to become disciples of Jesus. That's what he's called us to be, to find out his ways and follow him and leave our life of sin. I mean, that's what he's wanting us to do. And I think about, you know, that aspect that he put a pause on it. I think about Hezekiah.
Mm.
You know, Hezekiah, King Hezekiah was sick, and it looked like he wasn't going to make it. All of a sudden, this is when prophet Isaiah comes on the scene. In the word of God, you start hearing him talked about. He goes and he prophesies, because God told him to say this to Hezekiah. And he says, this is it. You know, the Lord says, you're not going to live beyond this. This is totally over for you. You're about to go be with your fathers. You know, it's over.
It's done.
And so many of us, our temptations are, when things get really bad, so many people throw their hands up and go, okay, it's over. But Hezekiah rolled over, wept, and prayed to God and asked God for it not to be over, that he would have life. And before Isaiah even walked out of the place that he just prophesied in, God says, wait a minute. He just humbled himself and prayed. Go back in there and tell him, never mind, it's not over. This is how good God is.
Yeah.
But it's also how prideful men are. I mean, the whole thing is, all we have to do is humble ourselves and repent. And I think about this. I think about the beginning of America, when General George Washington was believing and signing the Declaration of Independence in 1776. They understood, this is not going to work coming against this huge Great Britain, this king and all this kind of stuff. It's only if God delivers us, because this is just the righteous, right thing to do, to have our rights come from God, not from men. They don't come from men. They come from God. They come from men when we actually rebel against God and he puts a tyrant over us, because we won't listen to him. At that point, we actually consciously walk into Babylonian captivity. And so he flew a flag over the ships. He flew a flag all over the place, understanding this flag represented that we need to cry out to God. We need to make an appeal to God. As a matter of fact, we have a flag right here. This is the flag that they put up. It was an appeal to heaven flag. You would appeal to heaven. And this flag was flying over America before it was actually formed, when they were fighting for it. And we have to actually cry out to God. And this is an appeal to God. We're looking to God going, God, like Ahab and Hezekiah and Nineveh and Israel over and over again, cried out to God. And I want you to join us in just a moment, because you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. When we get back from this break, we're going to humble ourselves and pray and ask God to forgive us, to save us, and to prevent this.
Welcome back. We just wanted to pray in this last part. We want to make an appeal to heaven, to God. I mean, think about it. Every one of these characters, we're hearing this warning going on. We're seeing what's going on. Our God hears us, and our God responds. And just like George Washington did, they flew this flag, just like Hezekiah did, just like King David did, just like Nineveh did, just like King Ahab did, we can cry out to God. And God wants to forgive us. And so just join us. We're just going to pray right now. We're just going to humble ourselves. This is called sackcloth. You know, before God, this is all a vertical thing. This is not a horizontal thing. We're crying out to God saying, God, we hear you. We see what's going on. And we ask you, Lord, forgive our sins, Lord. Yes. Forgive America's sins. And so we just want to pray right now. Join us in prayer. Father God, we are so sorry, Lord, for our sins, where we sinned against you and sinned against others, God. Dear God, we're sorry, Lord, where we just stayed silent when injustice was taking place, God. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for the sins of this land and all that took place, Father God. Forgive us, Lord, for the lies that have been promulgated in the name of the gospel, Lord, that's been preached that's not in alignment with your word, God. Lord, forgive, Father God, the church in America for not even 81% not even picking up the Bible, God. Forgive us for that even taking place, God, that people died to give us that word, Lord God, and some people carried it and we don't even pick it up. God, forgive us, God. Yes. Stop this storm, God. Yes. Stop this storm, Lord God. Stop. Protect our borders, God. Prevent these people who have evil intention to harm our nation and harm Christians and harm Jews and harm the citizens of America, Father God. Lord God, that you would keep America safe, God. Give us one more chance, God. Rethink this, God. Consider your name and the blessing that you placed on this land, God, that its foundation was crying out to you. Consider, Lord God, that Harry Truman, he did sign the paperwork. Yes. He did say, I stand with Israel. Consider, Lord, all the times, this present leadership has turned against Israel, Father God, but you know the history that we stood with Israel. We've stood with Israel. The heart of America is to stand with Israel. God, protect Israel, God. We ask you, Lord God, that you would just move on behalf of America, God. That you would just have mercy on us, God. Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord. Yes, prevent this storm, God. We call out, Lord, for souls, salvation, Jesus. Lord God, a great harvest of men and women in the kingdom of God, and disciples, Lord.
Yes,
disciples Lord. Of yes. you, Jesus, that follow your teachings, that know your ways, God, that are different than the world, that they separate themselves from the world, Father God. And that we become family again, God.
Yes.
Forgive us for just becoming organizational and leaving the family that you called us to be to love one another, Father God. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for being greedy and with 97% of Christian Americans not even giving you your tithe and your honoring and your offerings, Lord. You blessed us. We're the richest nation on the world, God.
Yes.
Our poorest person is richer than 70% of the world's population, and we're still greedy, God. Forgive us for the greed and serving money other than serving you, Father God.
Lord.
Lord Jesus, John.
Yes, Lord. Father,
Jesus.
You said, God, in your word says that if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, Lord, forgive us for blaming the world, Lord. Lord, it starts with me, Lord. Forgive me, Jesus, of my sins. Lord, forgive us, Lord, the church, God, for what we've done, for the compromise, Lord, for not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the cross, the blood, repentance, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, forgive us for the diluting, God, of your message.
Yes.
And so, Father, Lord, we ask for
mercy
today,
God.
Lord. We ask for mercy. We don't deserve it, Lord. We ask that you would spare us, God.
Yes.
Lord, we pray, God, that you would bless us, Lord, with a third great awakening in
third
this nation, God.
Lord, an outpouring
of your spirit, Lord.
Yes, God.
Repentance, Lord, from coast to coast,
God.
Lord, that your glory would fall, Lord. That we would make you the Lord of our lives, Lord. Not just Savior, but Lord, Master, Boss,
God.
That your word will be the standard, God, in our hearts and in our homes and in our families and in our schools, in our government, God. that you will just be strong in our lives, God. Lord. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, forgive for the 55 God. Million plus babies have been murdered. Lord, for that
babies,
blood that's crying out, Lord, forgive we us. Ask you to forgive,
forgive
us,
Lord, the murder, Lord. God.
Lord, we ask you to forgive the sins of our fathers,
yes,
Lord.
For slavery,
Lord, we just
God.
Ask you, Jesus, for forgive mercy. America Lord, for we slavery, ask you, Lord, that you count it not against
yes,
us, Lord.
Yes, God.
And that you would have mercy. Mercy on our nation, God.
Yes, God.
And bless us, Lord, with an outpouring, Lord, that would reach the nations, Lord.
Yes,
forgive
God.
Us, Lord, for the things that we've hoarded, Lord, the material yes, wealth God. And the possessions and the resources,
yes, God.
God. Help us, Lord, to see yes, ourselves as global Christians, reaching
yes,
all the nations of the world and being yes. about the Father's business. Lord, give us yes, a chance Lord. To make it right, God.
Yes.
Give
Lord.
It a chance to make it right. That we would live, Lord, for your glory.
Yes.
Your glory and your glory alone. May we have a heart of Jesus just to please the Father.
Yes, God.
That's all we want to do, Lord. We just want to please the Father.
Yes, God.
One more chance, Lord.
Father God, and we just say the freedom, if you would give us the freedom, you would yes. let us have it and let us have the resources, Father God,
yes.
that we would use it all for your glory,
yes,
God.
Lord.
That we'd use every bit of it, Father God, to reach the world for you, Father God. Every bit of it, Father God.
Yes.
We just ask you for that kind of mercy and that kind of grace,
yes,
Father God.
Lord.
Pat?
Jesus. Father, forgive us, Lord, for our pride and our arrogance,
yes.
thinking more highly of ourselves than we should, Father God. Lord, it's only by your mercy and grace, God, that we can do anything, God.
Yes, God.
God, forgive your church, Lord, God. Forgive me, Lord, God, for turning a deaf ear, God, to those, God, who need help, Father. Forgive me, Lord, God, and forgive this nation, God, for just looking down on the downtrodden, God. Forgive us, Lord, for our
yes.
pride, God.
Yes, yes, God.
For turning our nose at anybody, God. Who are
yes.
we, God? Who do we think we are, Lord? God, forgive us for our just rebellion, God, against our leadership, Father. Forgive us, God, for talking against even our president, God. Forgive
yes.
us, Father.
Yes. God. Bless our president.
Lord, bless him, God. Bless his family, God. Lord,
yes.
give him ears to hear and eyes to see, God, what you
yes,
would want for
Lord.
This nation, Father. Lord, touch our leadership of this whole country, Lord. Touch
yes.
our sheriffs, God. Touch our government, God. Just touch our entire nation, Father.
Yes.
God, we need a touch from you, Father God. We ask for your spirit, God, just
yes.
to dwell among us, God. To speak to us, God. Open our ears and our eyes, God, to see, God, what's going on.
Yes, Lord.
Lord,
Jesus.
We repent, Father God. We repent of our sins, God. We turn to you,
yes.
God. We turn from our wicked ways, Jesus.
Lord, forgive us for even thinking that an election, Lord, would change anything in this
yes,
nation.
Yes.
nation. Lord, this is, Lord, it's not about a party or a person. It's about you. It's about Jesus
yes.
Christ. It's about God the Father, Lord. Forgive us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
It's all about you, Lord.
Father, and we just pray right now for President Barack Obama and his
yes.
wife Michelle, God, and Sasha and Malia, their daughters.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray, Father God, we bless them. We pray, God, for forgiveness. We pray, Lord, for a turnaround. If you can turn around, you can turn us around, Father God. And we just speak over them, and we just pray protection. We
yes.
pray for mercy, God. We know that it's us that have sinned.
Yes, Lord.
That it's the church that has sinned, God. And we just ask you to forgive us, Father God.
Jesus.
We take ownership, Father
yes.
God. And we pray, Father God, that you would just grace us with the wisdom to do exactly what you expect of your church, Father
yes.
God. Mercy, God.
Yes.
Mercy, Lord God. Revival, Lord
yes.
God. Revival,
yes.
Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, we just ask you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we cry out. We cry out to
yes.
you, Jesus, and we say, Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
Mercy. Have mercy on America.
Mercy.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.